Discussions with Ajahn Chuk Chen in Vietnam, May 2014. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Vietnamese friends, John, Sarah, and other friends.
Just now the bhikkhu asked me a question and it wasn't quite clear, so I'd like to address it again. Yesterday we were talking about death and birth, and we discussed how the last moment of life, the death consciousness, is followed immediately by the first moment of the new life. And it's the karma just before that last death consciousness that conditions the birth, no matter its birth as a human or as an animal or in heaven realm or hell realm, depending on that karma just before death. And we discussed how at the moment of birth, which is the moment of conception, at that moment there's no hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. It's just the birth consciousness which is result, vipaka citta. But at that moment of birth, the karma has also conditioned other rupas to arise. And these other rupas conditioned from the first moment of life are the heart base, which is the base at which those result cheetahs arise, the masculinity or femininity, and the body sense rupas. And after several moments of result cheetahs, the first process is a mind door process with attachment, just clinging to being, clinging to existence. And I'd like to ask the bhikkhu what his question is.
So the question is, we know that in order to be reborn, there must be tanha. And it's the, even for an Aryan person, it is the bhava tanha, which conditions the rebirth consciousness. And the objects for that loba or tanha, it's hadaya vatu, hadaya rupa, the heart-based rupa. It's all the information he got from the Abhidhamma. So he doesn't know in which process that happens, that the object of clinging or object of loba is the hadaya vatu.
Does anyone know what hadaya vatu is now or where it is, except just what we've read in the book? So I don't think that it's the common object of clinging at all. So we know that only an arahat has no more karma. For the rest of us, there is kusala and akusala karma that will bring results, because the root causes of rebirth, ignorance and attachment, have not yet been eradicated. While there is ignorance and attachment, then after seeing there is bound to be clinging, and there are bound to be moments of kusala and akusala which will bring results, and so on, round and round. It is on account of ignorance and attachment that deeds are performed, that there are results, and the cycle goes on. But this doesn't mean that just before death that the karma must be with attachment. It can be kusala karma or akusala karma just before death. If it's kusala karma, such as when there is dana or when there is right understanding of realities, then it will bring happy result, happy rebirth, such as birth consciousness in a human realm or deva realm. And if it's akusala karma, it will bring an unhappy rebirth. But it's not actually just one karma, because it accumulates all the karma from lifetimes to determine what that karma is at that time. So while heart base is the base of all cheetahs in the sense realms, apart from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, I haven't read anything about attachment to heart base at death or anything like that.
And if I could just add a brief comment that in the case of the anagami, of course, attachment to all sense objects has been eradicated, so there is only the attachment to becoming that remains. And it seems to me that it is attachment to becoming that is the condition for continued rebirth.
Who knows what will be object of seeing next moment? And at this very moment, since we don't know about the future seeing, what about seeing right now? That is seen now is the object of seeing right now. And seeing right now is conditioned by karma. We cannot make any choice to see this or that by our own will. But when it's time for karma to produce seeing, to experience such and such object, as much as one can understand is that if there is no karma to produce seeing, there is nothing to be seen. And death can arise any time, even right now. So when the object before death is visible object, which is seen by karma, which conditions seeing to see it, usually when there is the seeing process, and after it has fallen away, the mind or process, or there is the replica or the marks of that object continue to the moment of mind. So visible object which hasn't fallen away yet is the object of the seeing and the other vipaka in the process of seeing. And the object which is the visible object cannot last. After it has fallen away, citta cannot hear or cannot think suddenly. So the citta which follows the seeing, I say in brief, not in detail about the process, must be the life continuum because one is not dead yet. So usually after seeing, the mind remembers that which is seen very rapidly. So at moment of remember what is seen, it's not the seeing itself, but it's the mind which follows the seeing. So we can say that after seeing, there is mind door which experience the same object. Without the mind door, how can one know what is what? So at this moment, seeing arises and falls away, visible object arises and falls away, and the bhavanga is in between. And after that, mind door experience the same object as seeing process. Usually, mind door arises after the sense door and experience the same object as the sense door. But death can arise at any time. It can arise after this seeing process or after bhavanga or after mind door process. Like now, so the birth consciousness after death consciousness experience the same object as the process experienced before death. Any question? When it's not death yet, so it's as usual, sensa and minda and bhavanga in between. And talking about hadaya vattu, what is it?
We just know that hadaya vattu is a kind of rupa, which is the base for certain kinds of citta, such as the citta which arise apart from the five sense cognition.
It indicates that in the five khandhas plane, the citta must arise at arupa. Citta cannot arise outside the body or the rupa. But the citta cannot arise here or there at will. So at the moment of rebirth, karma produces the citta, which is vipaka of that karma, and also cetasikas and kammacharupa. At the moment of rebirth consciousness arising, karma also produces the hatiya rupa as the place for the citta to arise. And as human being, when a human being is born, it's in the womb, very, very tiny rupa, unseen, but even so, there are three groups of rupas. So would Kun Sarah or Kun Jonathan would like to repeat about these three groups again?
So we heard this morning that rupa cannot just arise on its own, but it arises in a group of rupas. So when, for example, visible object is seen now, it has to be supported by the four primary rupas and also other rupas which support it. In fact, there are always at least eight rupas that arise together. And so at the very first moment of life, at the moment of rebirth consciousness, three groups of rupa are produced at that same moment by the same karma that produced the vipaka, the rebirth consciousness. And one of these groups is the hadiyavatu, or heart base in English. So it is the heart base in a group supported by the four primary rupas and also nutriment and odor and taste, which accompany every rupa. At every other moment during life in the human realm, the heart base, the hadiyavatu, has to arise before the citta that it supports or is the base for. But just at the moment of birth, it arises at exactly the same moment, conditioned by the same karma. And the other two groups that arise at that same moment also are the group including masculinity and the group including femininity, also supported by the other eight rupas that always arise together in any group. And the third group is the body sense group of rupas. Other groups such as eye sense and ear sense arise, are produced later, but at the moment of birth, just these three groups. So the heart base from the very first moment of life is the support for all cittas during that life, apart from seeing, hearing, etc. These groups of rupa, like heart base and masculinity, femininity, like all the other dharmas we've been talking about, arise and fall away all the time, never last for an instant. And I think the point Ajahn mentioned about how actually death can come now and what is the object being experienced now by kusala or akusala cittas, maybe visible object or maybe an idea about something, so it can be concept or a reality, and that object that is experienced just before death is the object, the unknown object of the rebirth consciousness. If we understand more about life at this moment and how actually there's birth and death of different realities now, such as seeing or hearing, we begin to understand that at the end of life, it's the same. It's just the arising and falling away of different cittas experiencing different objects depending on whether they are result cittas or cause cittas. So the Buddha taught about three kinds of death. The first kind of death is the conventional death that we're used to thinking about, this life as a human or this life as an animal. So this is conventional death. And the second kind of death is the momentary death. Like now, there is the death of each citta at each moment. What has gone will never reoccur again. And the third kind of death is the death at the moment of parinibbana, the end of life in samsara, the death of the arahat. No more becoming, no more seeing, no more hearing, no more citta chetasika ever again.
So does the rebirth consciousness experience the hatayavatu?
So we know that the death consciousness can only experience the three kinds, either karma or kamagati nimitta.
Why do we call that with these words? Because it's just ordinary visible object or sound or anything. It's like now, just like now. But why do we use different words for those moments?
So, for example, he said that by just his own speculation, karma is about what can be experienced in our life, and then...
You mean thinking about it? Thinking about the deeds that has been done?
He's not so clear about that. He only knows that one of the three kinds of object can appear to the death consciousness.
Are they different from this moment?
It's about the activities or what has happened in daily life. Or, for example, if we have been a butcher or anything, it can appear at that moment to the consciousness.
But you say that they can be thinking of anything at any time, like thinking about the butcher, or yesterday we were here and we think about the room and whatever is now. If death come at that moment, that object which we usually think about is the object of the rebirth consciousness, because it is experienced before death. So that's why when we use three words like kamma, kamma nimitta, or kati nimitta, just indicate at that moment that it's only the moment of the rebirth after death, because those moments are object of citta before death. Only that.
So why is it said that the object of the Bhavanga Citta, which is also the rebirth consciousness, is it not the object of the sixth world?
Death can arise after Bhavanga, but it does mean that it has the same object as Bhavanga. It has to have the same object of cittas before death only. The last moments of citta before death experience what object?
The same object than the Bhavanga Citta.
Not the Bhavanga Citta. The moments
of rebirth.
The object of rebirth must be exactly the same like the object before death, not at death moment, which is... Yeah. Before death, one can think about one's own deeds long, long time ago or just recently. And then when death arises, the rebirth consciousness has the same object as those moments before death. Otherwise, what would be object of rebirth consciousness? How come to have any object? Only the moment before death, which can pass on to the rebirth consciousness as object.
And the reason it's unknown, the object of rebirth consciousness and the Bhavanga Cittas, is because they don't experience the object through any doorway. And also, like we discussed this morning, that only those like the Buddha have any way of knowing what the object of the last cittas before death of the last life were. But we have no idea. But it is the object of those last kusala or akusala cittas before death that is the same object of the rebirth and all the Bhavanga cittas in this life, mm-hmm. and of the death consciousness in this life. And just like now, the cittas arise and fall away so quickly, moment of experiencing visible object, moment of thinking about something heard this morning, moment of attachment to someone's dress, many, many cittas arising and falling away very rapidly. So we may think when we're with the person who is dying that somehow we can influence those last moments or have some indication of what they are, but actually, because cittas arise and fall away so fast, we have no idea, really. And I think, again, the only reason we discuss any of these details is not because it's necessary to know all these details, but to help us understand at any time, now or later, next life, last life, actually they're just different cheetahs, cheetah seekers and rupas, no self at all, no self to be reborn at all. Just different cheetahs arising just like now that are anatta. So if we understand more about seeing now, hearing now, what is seen now, what is heard now, different dharmas at this moment, we understand it must be just like this at any time.
So the question is again, does the rebirth consciousness experiences hatha yavatu?
Vậy thì câu hỏi trở lại là vậy thì thức tái tục có kinh nghiệm sắc ý vật hay không ạ? Chắc chắn là không. He's not clear.
What is the object of patisanthicitta?
It's one of the three karma.
Don't cling to the three words because it's only ordinary object like now. But we use different words to indicate that it's before death. It's the object which would be the object of rebirth consciousness. So just forget about the name and then thinking about whether can visible object be object of citta before death. So the visible object which has fallen away, but dying consciousness arises and karma produce the rebirth consciousness. And how can there be other object before death to be object of rebirth consciousness?
How can there be other objects?
Besides that which is the object of citta before death.
In other words, is hadiya watu the object of cheetahs now during a day?
Do they all understand what hadiya watu is? At least.
Many don't know.
So
if they don't know what it is, I don't think it's the object of cheetah now. So if death were to come now, it wouldn't be the object of cheetahs just before death. So it wouldn't be the object of rebirth because they don't even think about it.
But do they understand what is hatiya watu? Usually, hatiya means heart. But in reality, the cheetah cannot arise out of the body. Citta depends on arupa as its base for its arising. So there must be the base for the arising of citta somewhere all over the body. For example, at moment of experiencing hardness, the body sense is the base, the place where the arupa, which the body consciousness arises to experience that which impinge on the body base. So altogether, there are six bases for the arising of citta. The rupa, which is the base for citta to arise, also arises and falls away all the time, but they are conditioned by karma. From the first moment of life, because karma produces it together with citta, cetasika, and the base and the other rupa, which is conditioned by karma, the three groups of rupa. The other group, that the group which is the base for seeing and hearing and smelling, hasn't arisen yet. So now we understand what vattu means. The rupa, which is the base for citta to arise in the five khandas planes. So it's different from doorway or gateway for citta to experience object. Even they are the same reality for the five, they are different by their function. Like the eye base is the base for the seeing consciousness and also the gateway for citta to arise and see. So each word of the teachings must be very precise. Sound is heard right now and this arises, and after that we don't talk about the details, just roughly. And the rebirth consciousness arises. So it has the same object as citta before death, like the echo of the sound. Like what you call stamp. When it's stamped, it has the same shape and form. So the rebirth consciousness cannot have other aramana besides the aramana of jittas before death, which always pass on to the mind after seeing process. But when the death comes in and the rebirth consciousness receive or have or share the same object instead of mind or process. So can the rebirth consciousness experience the heart base?
Giờ cha anh nói thì sư chỉ hiểu được là như vậy thì cái tự thức kinh nghiệm lại cái tướng nibbita của cái cảnh của cảnh ngủ.
So could you please explain more about hadayavatu?
Yes, hadayavatu is not citta, not cetasika, but is the rupa which is the base for citta to arise usually. Mostly, we understand that citta cannot arise outside the body at all. It has to arise at somewhere in the body by conditions. Otherwise, what is the relation between the body and the mind? In the five khandhas plane citta, each moment must arise at the body. So there are altogether six rupa as six bases for citta to arise. At the first moment of life, there is no other rupa besides the three groups. It comprises the 10 kind of rupa, each group. No rupa can arise without the four primary rupas. They understand the four primary? So wherever there is a four primary rupas, there must be that rupa which arises with it, which can impinge on the eye only to be seen. So at least there must be eight indivisible kind of rupa in a tiny group, very minute, conditioned by different conditions. Some groups are conditioned by kamma, the whole body now, and some groups are conditioned by citta, and some groups are conditioned by uttu, and some groups are conditioned by ahara, and there are space in between each minute group. That's why no matter whatever, it can be broken into very tiny group because of there is space in between each group. And now each group arises and falls away all the time. That's why when the rupa is not experienced by citta, no one knows that what is it. Like now, is the body hard now? Honestly, truthfully, how do you know that the body is hard?
By citta?
By thinking about it.
At moment of seeing, the body is not experienced. Hardness is not experienced. As long as there is the idea that there is the body, that is atta, self is there. Wrong memory of that which has fallen away completely never come back as it's there. Ignorance is there, always self or I, all the time, without any reality. So now let's come back to the three groups of the rupa at moment of rebirth consciousness. Again, please, Kunsara.
So the hadayavatu group. So these are the eight rupas which always arise together. The four primaries, visible object, odor, taste, nutriment, plus two more, the hadayavatu. And because it's of the body, there has to be the jivitindriya, the life faculty rupa as well. So this is a group of 10. The masculinity or femininity group of rupas, so the same eight and the same life faculty jivitindriya plus the masculinity or femininity sex rupa arise together in a kalapa at that first moment of life. And the body sense group of rupas, kalapa we call it. So again, the eight indivisible rupas, the life faculty, jivitindriya, plus body sense. So this is the third kalapa or group of rupas that arises at that moment of birth. And these groups of rupas arise and fall away throughout life. Later other groups such as the eye sense group and the ear sense group are also conditioned and again arise and fall away throughout life. And so from that first moment of life, the heart base is the base for those result cittas to arise. And later when bodily experience takes place, then body sense is the base of the bodily experience.
So my question again, you know already, what is it?
I'd like to just explain that there are gross rupas, 12 rupas are gross because they are more readily apparent. And of those, only 7 rupas appear through the senses, visible object, sound, odor, taste, and 3 tangible objects. Hadiyawatu is a very subtle rupa that can only be experienced through the mind by very highly developed panya, such as the panya of the great disciples. So, for example, now for us, there may be a little bit of understanding of visible object or sound, but when it comes to Hadiyawatu, there can only be thinking of it as a concept. So, for example, if death were to come right now because we're thinking about the concept of Hadiyawatu, then that concept could be the object of rebirth consciousness, just like visible object or hardness or thinking of Hui could be the object of rebirth consciousness because it's the common object now. So just as visible object or sound or thinking about Hui is the common object now. So if death were to come now, it could be the object of rebirth consciousness. But because Hadiyawatu is a very subtle rupa, it doesn't appear in a day. There's no Hadiyawatu that is experienced now, only an idea of it. So if death were to come now, no Hadiyawatu as object of rebirth consciousness.
He's heard about the Hadiyawatu being the predominant object condition for Lobha. So how such subtle rupa can become the object for Lobha?
And what about my question? Because rebirth consciousness arises with the 3 groups at that very moment of rupa, so can or does it experience the Hadiyawatu which arises with it?
No. His answer to your question is no, it cannot.
Right.
And when you mention about Hadiyawatu and Lobha, so all cittas other than the 5 sense experiences have Hadiyawatu as base. So it is a condition for those cittas by way of being base support. Without that base or support, they couldn't arise. But that doesn't mean that that reality appears or is known. But we know it must be there, otherwise citta with Lobha couldn't arise. As Ajahn said, in the 5 khandas realms, all cittas must have a base. So Hadiyawatu is essential base for all those other cittas.
And what is the object of the rebirth consciousness?
Like you just explained, is it the object of the last mind process in the last life?
in order to indicate that it's the object of the rebirth consciousness, because it is the object of cittas before death, we use the word kamma, kamma nimitta, and kati nimitta for only before moment of death. Even it's like now.
Said that it has given rise to his consideration that when knowing more details about it, we can understand more that everything is caused by conditions and no one can create anything, and
yes,
it's more understanding about anatta.
Yeah, that is the point, the objective of study the teachings. Become detached gradually from learning and understanding, little by little, until it's the direct understanding of a reality as a reality right then. And this is patipatti. So without pariyatti, no patipatti can arise at all. And without patipatti, no pativeda at all. It's now the hatiya vattu, the object of citta. Is there now?
No.
No. But by studying, one knows that the hatiya vattu is the base for citta, for the arising of citta, except the 10 vipakas. So at the moment of rebirth consciousness, what is the base for its arising?
It's also hatiya vattu.
So, and when the rebirth consciousness has fallen away, karma produced the moment after it, the same vipaka, because through that one's life, there must be the same vipaka, patisanti citta, and citta after that, which is life continuum. What base does it arise? At what base? At what rupa?
Also hatiya vattu.
And citta before seeing, where does it arise?
Hatiya vattu.
And after citta has fallen away, the citta which follow, what at what base does it arise?
Hatiya vattu.
And at this moment, what base does it arise?
Hatiya vattu.
Okay. So now, as Buddha said, only 10 cittas do not arise at the heart base. The rest must arise at the heart base. That's why one can see the difference, great difference between the seeing and other cittas. One cannot think about that which one has seen, but it's not the actual moment of seeing at all. No word, but it's so clear that it experiences and it sees that which is seen. The same as hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And in Pali, they have different words for these 10, uppatti, and the rest, nippatti. In a dream, is it the actual seeing while one is dreaming?
No.
So what citta is there?
Can be kusala or akusala citta.
Which things? It's not directly experienced visible object or sound at all. Where does thinking arise? At what base?
Hatiya vattu.
Akusala cittas?
Hatiya vattu.
Kusala cittas?
Hatiya vattu.
Are the kinds of vipaka citta.
All the other vipaka citta also.
Right. No matter what kind of vipaka, because the rebirth consciousness is one of the 19 type of citta which can perform the function of rebirth. No matter in what plane. No self, no being at all. No one who can control. At moment of seeing, now one knows that seeing arises at the eye base. Can it be known or experienced?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Only the Buddha, is it?
Even it's there, everyone knows, but no experiencing of it. Would anyone like to experience? Would you ask for the method? Would you ask for the method if you'd like to experience it?
No.
Good. Because depending on conditions, and if one tries and tries to know it, what is there?
Attachment.
Mm-hmm.
There's some three roots. So bodhicittas are very important. So one normally meets one root, amoha or jnana. If this jnana just a literal understanding, let's say the benefit of a good deed, or it has to be the direct wisdom developed by vipassana.
When we talk about roots, we are talking about cetasikas. The root of amoha is the mental factor of panya. And it is just that cetasika. It's not a question of what level.
Nó chỉ là một tâm sở thôi và không phải là vấn đề ở mức độ nào. Nó có tính chất là trí tuệ.
Panya cetasika has been accumulated in the past. And it depends on conditions whether or not it will arise at the moment of rebirth consciousness. If it does arise, then it means that understanding can be developed in that lifetime. It doesn't mean that understanding will be developed necessarily, because there are other conditions that need to be fulfilled if panya is to be developed in one's life. When panya arises with kusala citta in one's life, at that stage we can talk about the level of panya.
Khi đó thì ta có thể nói đến mức độ trí tuệ.
Whether it is panya of the level of samatha, panya of the level of intellectual understanding about realities, or the panya that directly understands a dhamma.
But if one just repeats, now there is karma in life and karma brings results, who can say whether there is any panya at such moments? Because one may just be repeating words. A child may be just parroting what it's heard from its parents. So mm-hmm. we can't necessarily know just from the words. Only panya itself can know when there is panya.
Buddha says one must close the sixth sense door by noting when the seeing arises or the hearing arises or by mindfulness. But there is no right understanding yet. So Ajahn, please tell more about this, about the closed sixth sense door.
Guarding the sixth sense doors.
Did he tell anyone to know everything he said? Or little by little, from studying and also intellectual understanding. For example, there can be the question like, where is the eye sense?
In the eyes? In the middle of the eyes?
We can say, where seeing arises. Can the eye base be seen?
No.
No. What is seen?
Visible object.
Only visible object. Even we don't call it visible object, that which is seen now, no matter in what language or in what term. Does the eye sense arise and fall away too? How long does it last?
It's in 17 moments of citta.
Yes. And where does the hearing arise?
It's the ear base.
Or where it hears. Not the object, but where it arises to hear.
It's the ear base.
The ear base.
Yeah.
We don't know where exactly inside the ear, but actually at moment when hearing arises, it's there. It hasn't fallen away yet, otherwise it cannot be conditioned for hearing to arise. And where's the smelling consciousness arise?
With the nose.
And where does the taste consciousness arise?
As the tongue.
The whole tongue or where?
Ở trong cả lưỡi hay là ở đâu ạ? It's just tasting.
Where the tasting consciousness sense. Arise. Yeah. And where does the body consciousness arise?
Everywhere at the body on, and based on the body sense except the hair and the nails.
When the hardness, softness, heat and cold and pressure and motion appear. At moment of touching, hardness appear, it means that there is the body consciousness arising at the body sense. At moment of seeing, does the ear base also arise?
Yes. He said yes. And some said no.
Yeah. Because it's our own thinking. So we have to depend on Dhamma Saranang Kacchami. Kamma produces the bases like eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body all the time. Ready to be conditioned for these 10 citta to arise when time comes. We can say that even citta is in a moment, but Buddha tell us about the difference between the moment of birth and death and moment of that which is not birth and death of citta. Because the arising moment is not the falling away moment, and it's not that which in between the arising and falling away. And kamma produce rupa, all these moments, at every sub-moment of citta.
So he would like just to confirm that so when the eye consciousness arises at the same time, the ear sense also arises. Is that correct?
Actually, it arises before seeing moment, because it has to impinge on the ear sense or the eye sense before seeing or hearing can arise.
But other groups of rupas, such as ear sense arising and falling away all the time, but at the moment the visible object impinges on eye sense, nothing is impinging on the ear sense, but those other kalapas or groups of rupas are still arising and falling away continuously throughout life.
And what is the difference between the hardness at the body and at the other thing like glass? This is hard, and this
cứng.
Is also hard.
Ở đây cũng cứng.
Is there any difference?
Có sự khác biệt nào không ạ? So it's equal, it's also hard, but the nature of hardness is different.
How can it be different?
Because each rupa is different. The rupa which is touched, that is glass, is not the same rupa that is touched, that is the body.
Why?
Seeing that it's the combination of the four elements, a difference in each case.
Can we say that all groups of rupa here are not conditioned by kamma? It's not conditioned by citta. It's not conditioned by ahara. It's conditioned only by uttu. But in the body, there are four different groups. Some produced by kamma, some produced by citta, and some produced by ahara, and some is produced by uttu.
So, for example, when touched the soft part of the body, like the skin, it is not the same hardness than when we touch the bone. So how do you explain the difference between
touching
these two?
Touching the dead one and the one who's still alive, is there any difference?
Yes.
Because the live one has the rupa which is conditioned by karma. All the karma, all the rupa which is conditioned by karma falls away together at the same time of dying consciousness. What is left is only the rupa, which is conditioned by utu, like any material.
Can you please explain about the process of the citta experiencing an object?
What do we? Mind or sense though?
Both.
Please, Kunjata. Mind of first. Because the first doorway after birth is mind of. Or is mind of?
Well, just in general, jitters experience objects in a process through the sense doors and the mind door. This is different from the case of the Bhavanga jittas, which arise throughout life and which experience an object not of the sense doors or the mind door. There are jittas that receive the object and then jittas that think about the object. And the jittas that think about the object are either kusala or akusala. And they perform the function of javana, or running through the object. And other jittas in the same process perform different functions. And some of them are vipaka jittas and some are kriya jittas. And in the case of the sense door process, the sense door process begins when a sense object impinges on the sense base and the adverting consciousness arises and adverts to the object. And there is then also a further series of jittas that experiences the object through the sense door, including kusala or akusala jittas that run through the object and perform the function of javana. And if we're talking about, for example, the eye door, the moment when the seeing consciousness experiences the object is a moment of vipaka. And after the sense door process has finished, then the same object is experienced by jittas in the mind door process. And this cycle is repeated with other sense doors throughout life. But the rate at which these different processes occur is so rapid that it seems to us that many objects being experienced at the same time. And so the reality of the way things are is not apparent to us. And there is an appearance of continuity which shields the reality of the moment. But as I said, the Bhavanga jittas are what arise continuously throughout life, except when interrupted by sense door process, followed by mind door process. So this information helps us to see the conditioned nature of what we take to be our life. And it helps us to appreciate what the Buddha was talking about when he spoke about dhammas arising and falling away.
And back to the question about closing sense doors and so on that we hear about. So as Ajahn and Jonathan have mentioned, that the first process in life is a mind door process.
Quay lại với cả cái câu hỏi của chị về thu thúc lục căn, thì như là Jonathan và Ajahn có nói, bây giờ chúng ta sẽ đề cập đến cái tiến trình đầu tiên của một kiếp sống.
There is the averting to the object.
Khi đó thì sẽ có ý môn hướng tâm.
Experience through the mind, and then first process in life are
akusala cittas arising with attachment.
Và tâm đầu tiên của một kiếp sống là tâm tham và tâm bất thiện.
And at this time there's no seeing, there hasn't been any seeing yet, any hearing yet, any experience through the bodily sense, body sense. It's just attachment to being or existing.
Ở khoảnh khắc này thì vẫn còn chưa có các kinh nghiệm của thấy, nghe, ngửi, nếm, xúc chạm. Khi đó chỉ có sự dính mắc vào hữu.
And later, as has been experienced, there is one sense door process or one mind door process at a time.
Và sau đó thì như là đã giải thích sẽ chỉ có một tiến trình của ngũ môn hoặc là một tiến trình của ý môn ở một thời điểm.
So when the cittas in the eye door process are experiencing visible object, there is no ear door process. There are no cittas experiencing sound at that time.
Trong khi tiến trình qua nhãn môn xảy ra thì khi đó sẽ không có tiến trình của nhĩ môn, tức là không thể có âm thanh được kinh nghiệm.
At those moments of experiencing visible object, no one is closing the ear door cittas. No one is stopping them from happening. There just are no conditions for any other sense doors or mind door process to occur at the when the eye door process is taking place.
Ở những khoảnh khắc như vậy thì không có ai là người có thể đóng các cái môn này, tức là các cái cửa giác quan này để cho chúng không diễn ra, mà việc chúng có diễn tiến hay không, có là một cái tiến trình hoàn hảo hay không và được tiếp nối như thế nào thì hoàn toàn do duyên chi phối.
So when visible object is being experienced, if understanding has been developed, there can be awareness of visible object, not because of any closing of any other doorways, but because there is only that reality appearing through that doorway that is experiencing that visible object.
Sau khi mà tiến trình của ngũ môn chẳng hạn qua nhãn môn diệt đi thì có thể có hiểu biết sinh khởi liền ngay đó, hiểu biết đúng về cái tiến trình đó, nhưng mà không thể có cái việc là đóng các cái tiến trình đó lại.
So when I read suttas about more holes or any of these things, what I understand is that actually only one object is appearing, and if there are conditions, there can be awareness of that object, but always anatta, no one who can do anything. So this is how we read any sutta in the light of anatta. So just that object which appears at that time.
So what is meant by sense door, mind door, and process?
No one.
The rebirth consciousness, does it experience any object? The first moment of life,
yes.
The rebirth consciousness, does it experience any object?
The answer, yes.
Yes. Through what doorway?
My door?
No.
No, no.
So in order to understand what is meant by doorway or process, there must be the understanding of citta arises no matter what is its object. It experiences just an object. There is no citta without the object, because citta arises and experiences. So there must be the object which citta experiences no matter when. Everyone knows the moment of being fast asleep. Is that citta arising and falling away all the time from moment to moment? At moment of being fast asleep, who knows? Who knows at moment of being fast asleep? Not at all. But citta arises and experiences the object, the same object as patisanti citta, the first moment of life. Because kamma does not produce only one moment of citta, which is vipaka. Only one moment of vipaka is not enough to be result of kamma. So kamma produces more than one moment of vipaka. After moment of rebirth consciousness, which is conditioned by kamma, kamma produces its vipaka to not just only one moment of rebirth consciousness. And the nature of each citta is that whenever it's completely gone, it conditions the next moment instantly. While one is fast asleep, is there any gap? Non-stop, the arising and falling of citta, no matter when, from the first moment to the last moment of this life and continue on to next life too. And one citta experiences only one object. At this moment of seeing, can the seeing also hear? No. So one can see the rapidity of the succession of the arising and falling away of citta, unknown all the time. In order to understand the anatomy of everything, no matter its citta, cetasika, rupa, it needs the very carefully study, respectfully. Don't have one's own idea to think about it because one is not Buddha at all. So what is the object of citta which arises after the rebirth consciousness?
Same object.
Yes.
The same object than the rebirth consciousness.
Does the world appear at moment of rebirth and pavanga, which arise after the rebirth consciousness? Does this world appear yet? Like being fast asleep, nothing appear, but citta is there, arising and falling away by conditions. So what is the difference between the rebirth consciousness and the moment after it?
They have just different functions. Okay. The first one is the function is the rebirth, and the other one only pavanga citta.
No more rebirth after the rebirth consciousness.
Đúng rồi, đó là sự khác biệt về chức năng. Vì sau khi mà thức tái tục đã diệt đi thì không có cái tâm tiếp theo, không phải là làm chức năng tái tục nữa.
The same karma which produced the rebirth consciousness produces also the pavanga, the whole life. The world does not appear yet. Nothing appear at those moments of rebirth consciousness and pavanga. Last night, was there pavanga?
Đêm qua có thức tài, có tâm hộ kiếp không ạ? Yes.
At those moments, nothing appear at all, right?
Ở những khoảnh khắc đó không có gì xuất hiện, đúng không ạ?
But even right now, there is also pavanga, always unknown.
Nhưng kể cả ngay bây giờ cũng có những tâm hộ kiếp nhưng mà chúng không được nhận biết.
When the rupa impinge on the base, no matter it's eye base or ear base, it lasts only for 17 moments of citta. Those fall away. So what happens after that? What arises?
Bhavanga citta.
Who answer? See? Hearing cannot arise, anything cannot arise yet, because that just fallen away instantly, and then pavanga has to arise in between each processes. So life is just the current of pavanga. Nothing appear, and then something appear and disappear. Again, pavanga, nothing appear, and then disappear. So very rapidly that it seems like everything arises together now. So when we talk about process, we talk about the citta, which is not pavanga. The world begins to appear as object which citta experiences. Let's talk about moments after rebirth consciousness. There are many, many uncountable pavanga. Remember, right? Because those moments are in the womb. Who could remember what happened? But when one uses the word newly born, a newly born baby, sometimes we can see that baby smile or cry. Who knows what's the object of that very moment to condition smiling or crying? Does anyone cry in a dream or laugh in a dream? Really? Because sometimes it is crying or laughing, and that moment is not a dream, like the baby. We can think about anything, but as it cannot condition the movement of the body, it's only dreaming or thinking. That's why the first process of life that the world appears is through mind or no seeing, no hearing, no smelling, no tasting, no touching yet. Because what is accumulated in the mind can condition moment of thinking about that. By condition to be forgotten. Because citta always keep on experiencing so many, many objects. So how many objects could be remembered? We don't know when we were young as newly born baby, what was the first process. So the process is moment of citta arises and experience the object different from moment of bhavanga. So from now on, bhavanga is not patisanti citta, and the process of citta is not bhavanga, because it experiences the object different from bhavanga and patisanti citta. So what is meant by mind, or it does not depend on eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body at all. When we talk about the process citta, which is experiences different object from bhavanga's object, the stream of bhavanga arising and falling away, no interruption yet. In a dream, why do we have the very fantasy dream? Some people dream about flying up on the air. How come such object of thinking? So the first process is the mind or process, but which all objects or experiences has been accumulated to condition such thinking with attachment, always attachment, no matter in what plane, because there is always attachment in a day, in a process in a day, and so many processes in a day. And what about today? 2 days, 4 days, or the whole life? All experiences are accumulated when they are kusala or akusala moments.
Và tất cả những kinh nghiệm của thiện và bất thiện đều được tích lũy.
So each is different. For example, a baby smile. Who knows what the object is? Each is different, quite different. Even the four primary rupas with the whisper object which arises with it, and the odor and the taste and the nutrition, only eight indivisible rupa. But they can condition different kind of plants, flowers, colors. Citta and cetasikas are much more amazing than the rupa. That's why each one is different, no matter in what world, even thinking. And who does not have attachment? The person who does not attachment doesn't have condition to be reborn. So the first process in life is mind or process with attachment. Does the citta which experience object through mind or arise and falls away? Never gone, like any moment. So it can be moment for other doorway to experience object after that.
You can answer.
Gone, never to arise again. Mm-hmm. Never gone. Yeah. It means gone, never to occur again.
Can any moment come back? So where's the I? Where's the self? It's only thinking and clinging. Ngã with strong understanding. So would you like to know the process from moment to moment? Or mind or process is not the sense of process?
So she will learn, she will study more later. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. There can be understanding of moment to moment of the process, like the first moment in the process is what? See?
Like after the Hwanga Jitas, for that process to continue, there has to first of all be the averting to the object of the world. And then this is followed by Kusala or Akusala Jitas that experience that object. So we can begin to build up and learn more details. And when the mind door process is occurring, when that object is experienced through the mind door, nothing is experienced through any of the five sense doors. So it's like they are closed. And no one closes them. No one chooses to experience an object through the mind door process at the very beginning of life. The newborn, long before it's a baby, it doesn't choose to experience objects in a mind or process, but by conditions, that's the way it has to be. And then after the mind or process has finished, more Bhavanga Jitas, and then later there will be sense door processes, one at a time, averting to the object, seeing or hearing or smelling or tasting the object, other jitas in that process. And again, no one chooses to see now, no one chooses to hear now, but just one process experiencing an object at a time in between the Bhavanga Jitas.
She'd like to clarify about the averting consciousness and then manasikara, because we know that the function of manasikara is to attend to the object. And so what about the averting consciousness?
So shall I introduce citta one at a time to be known? Now everyone knows about patisanticitta, vipaka, the result of akamma. Without kamma, there cannot be patisanticitta at all. It's only once in lifetime, no more patisanti at all after it has fallen away. But it is succeeded by the same type of vipaka, produced on and on and on, unknowingly. So when we talk about process, it means that citta, which is the process experience, not the same object as Bhavanga. Like now, at moment of seeing, is not Bhavanga. But seeing, hearing is not the first in the process, first citta of the process. So now we learn about another one, type of citta. Patisanti citta, Bhavanga, Bhavanga, experience the same object. But without the citta, which is the process, nothing can appear. And the first citta, which has different object from the Bhavanga, is also conditioned. So without the visible object impinged on the eye sense as conditions, can there be moment of knowing what is there which is not the object of Bhavanga? Thinking about seeing right now, before that it is Bhavanga, Bhavanga, Bhavanga. If the visible object does not impinge on the eye base and without the kamma which produces seeing, there cannot be seeing right now. But the first moment is not seeing. Mm-hmm. The first moment in the process, it is just that which realize or know that something impinge on. If it's sound, it impinges on the ear sense. If it's visible object, it impinges on the eye sense. No seeing, no hearing yet. It just begin to know, to be conscious of what is there. After it has fallen away, it conditions seeing to see when it's that which is visible object. If it's the sound which impinges on the ear sense, Bhavanga cannot experience sound, but that which begin to be conscious know that something is there. And after it has fallen away, hearing arises to hear the sound which impinges on the ear sense. So the first citta of the process which experiences different object from pavanga must be this citta. It's not vipaka because it's conditioned by the object which impinges on the base. So this citta can be conscious of what appears through five sense doors only. So now we know that before seeing, there is the citta, which is the first of the process, which just be conscious of what is there, but not see, not hear yet. And that is not vipaka because it can experience no matter its pleasant or unpleasant object, which is not seen or heard yet. That's why Buddha used different words for the 10 citta, the seeing. It sees right now. The hearing, it hears right now. Because even the citta arising before it cannot see, cannot hear, just know or be conscious of what is there. No one, no self. Buddha taught us to have the understanding of the details of each as not self, not any conditioned reality permanent. So now, is seeing the first citta of the process?
No.
No. Is that, is the vipaka or what? Akusala, akusala?
No.
Mm-hmm. So now begins to understand the four types of citta. The kusala is not the akusala, not the vipaka, and not the kriya. Usually we heard about just the kusala, akusala, and the vipaka. But there is another type of citta which is not kusala, not akusala, not vipaka. And it's the moment of the first citta in the process. Does an arahata have this citta too? Does a dog also has this type of citta too?
Yes.
A bird? Whenever they're seeing, before seeing, there must be this citta. Usually, the arahata does not have kusala and akusala at all. Because of no ignorance and no unwholesome reality like attachment, aversion, the three roots. So what he does in his whole life after being an arahata cannot produce any result at all. So the wholesome cetasikas can be kusala or vipaka or kriya. For the whirling being, there are only two moments or two types of citta, which is kriya. And that is the citta which we just talked about, the one which adverts to the object without experiencing it as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, or touching it. And it arises before moments of kusala and akusala. In details, there are three more moments before kusala and akusala, which we don't need to talk just now. Who knows about that adverting consciousness? It's there before seeing. What can be known is seeing itself right now. But there must be the first citta in the process before seeing. And there are three more moments before kusala and akusala can arise. And it's in the book that you can read. Otherwise, it might be too long to remember, to understand. Just remember, patisanti citta, pavanga citta, and adverting consciousness before
seeing or hearing
or thinking. There are three kinds of manasikara, right? Would you like to understand now? So what is meant by manasikara and what are the three and how they are different?
The first one is the one that adverts to the object, and another one adverts to the five pair of consciousness, and another one adverts to the javana.
In Pali, the first one is aramana patipadaka manasikara, advert means the attention to. It's a cetasika, but the other two are cittas. Aramana, patipadaka, manasikara is the cetasika which attend to the object which appears. I can give very rough example. Who attends to this watch? How it's made? What is made? Who made it? At the moment of being attended to that object, it is a reality which is cetasika, mental factor, arising with each citta. No matter how much attention is there, that which arises and attend to the characteristic of the object is that characteristic of a reality, a cetasika. Does patisanti citta have manasikara cetasika? Because it's one of the seven cetasikas which arises with each citta. But the other two manasikara are not cetasika, they are citta. Would you like to say something?
So the first one is a cetasika, aramana patipatika manasikara, the manasikara which arises with every citta and attends to the object. And the second one is the citta that we have been discussing, and it's referred to as viti patipatika manasikara, because viti means process, and patipatika, it is the foothold or the stepping stone for the other cittas in the sense door process. So without this citta, the other cittas in that sense door process couldn't arise. So this is the second manasikara. And the third manasikara is called Javana Patipatika Manasikara. And this refers to the averting consciousness that arises before the kusala or akusala cittas, the manodvara vajana citta, the averting consciousness that has to arise to be the stepping stone for the kusala or akusala cittas that follow it.
So how many cittas are introduced today? Not the number yet, but only the function. And later on, one will know how many cittas perform this function or that function. Patisanti citta, pavanga citta, adverting consciousness, and which is the five sense, to the five sense door is panchadvara vachana, and only to mind door is manodvara vachana, which is followed by kusala and akusala. So whenever there is moment of kusala or akusala, this citta must arise before. The Pali word must be very difficult to remember in the beginning, but later on, when you know the meaning, it's easier. For example, pancha is five, and the vara is doorway or gateway to experience an object. So pancha dvara, five doorways, and manodvara, mind doorway. More and more to know, but all of them are now. So study Dhamma is not study the words in the book, from the book, but it's understanding, developing understanding of what appears now. Just remembering the name and the number is not pariyatti, but it's only the understanding of what Buddha really taught as not self is pariyatti, the stepping stone for another higher level, which is patipatti. And it will lead to pativeda, realization of the Four Noble Truths. With the highly developed panya stage by stage, which are called vipassana. So no one can do vipassana at all. But vipassana is developed from hearing, considering, and understanding little by little. So the understanding at this level, is it vipassana? Question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if one says that this is vipassana, what about that? It means no understanding of what is vipassana at all.
Nam
On behalf of everyone, he would like to thank Achan, as well as Sarah and Jonathan, to help the people in Vietnam to study and understand the Dhamma in a very clear and correct and deep way.
And next time, also Nina.
Sa-thu, sa-thu, sa-thu.